a blessing to be able to stand before you today, praise God, amen, giving honor to God first, hallelujah, and then to our pastor in his absence. Yes. And truly God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. Amen. And you know, it's just something, because pastor said, I need you to stand in for me. So I said, Lord God, you have to give me what it is you want me to bring to your people. But, you know, we was in Sunday school, and the Lord ministered through Deacon Joy. And, you know, and just hearing the things that were being said about how we are to praise God and how God is faithful. And then that song that you all were singing, and the song says, you know, he hides us in the valley and he protects us from the rain. But you think about it, that same God that protects us from those trials and he protects us is the same God that showers those blessings upon us. And then I heard Elder Phyllis say that we have to praise God regardless. In everything, we have to praise the Lord. And that's what's been just ringing in my soul, that regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of the situations or the circumstances, God is still deserving of all of our praise and worship. Amen? Because when we start looking at our situation and we start seeing and just, you know, reacting to the things that we're seeing and the things that we're hearing, then we're telling God, this is too big for you. But we serve the God of all flesh, and that there is nothing too difficult for him. I don't care what the situation is. There is nothing too hard for our God today. And just like we said, we don't want to be just hearers of the word of God. I could ask everybody in this room to quote a scripture, and you could give it to me. But what we want to be is to be doers of the word of God. This is a new year that we're in, a new place we're in spiritually. Amen. Not just God had a plan for them. He had a path for them to take. But he said if he had taken them a certain way, they would have seen the wars and things that was raging, and their heart would have grown fearful or weary. So he said he was going to take them through the wilderness. And that still wasn't good enough for them, because even in that, God was protecting them. And what should have been an 11-day journey turned into a 40-year trial. Why? Because of murmuring and complaining. And then you have to ask yourself today, am I a praiser? Or am I a complainer? Regardless of what your situation is, regardless of where you are in life, God has positioned you, even in your workplace. And you can't leave until he gives you that release, because there's something there for you to do. There is a work there for you to accomplish for Christ. And he'll let you know when it's time to move on. But while you're there, you have to praise him. We have to remember, because we sing that song. And see, this is another thing we do. We sing these songs, and they're awesome. They're beautiful songs. But do you mean what you're singing? Lord, I want to give you more. Okay? And we talked about this a little bit in Bible study Wednesday, because that's, and we use that very song as an example, because we say we want to give God more, but how has your praise changed? You know? And it's okay if you sit in your chair and you pat your feet. But if you're going to give God more, maybe it's just not patting your feet, you're clapping your hands, or you're rocking side to side, because we're saying we want to give God more. We're expecting great things from God, but we don't want to do anything any different. Amen. We don't want to do anything any different. We don't want to make any changes. But yet, we say we want more. So God says that if you want more this year, more is going to be required of you. That's right. Amen? Where you may have only prayed once a day last year, then maybe you're going to have to step it up to pay 2, 3, 4 times a day. Amen. To stay connected to God, because he is there to meet your every need. Everything that you're going through, he's already aware of it, and he already has a solution. But what he wants his people to do is to trust him. But you won't trust him if you don't know what his word says. Amen? Amen. Today, we're going to be coming a little bit from John 15, chapter 1. No, chapter 15, verse 1. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 1. And did you know that the vine was the symbol of the nation of Israel? So even on their buildings, they tended to have the picture of, you know, the vines pictured on their buildings, because that was their symbol. But in John chapter 15, verse 1, the Lord is saying, I am the true vine. And he says, and my Father is the husbandman. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Amen. Now we look at the things that we're going through in our life, and it was something because the Sunday school lesson was talking about the trials, and that those trials sometimes is that purging. Because God wants you to be productive. If he says, if you say that you're an apple tree, we should see some apples growing. Now, if there are lemons on the tree, there's something wrong. There's something defective. But God is saying that he is the true vine. And that he is the one that does the pruning. See, we don't prune each other. That's God's job. Now, God can use us in the process. But the process starts with him doing the pruning. Because he sees those areas in our lives that need to be pruned, that need to be purged. Those things that are still, yet you're still carrying from year to year. And just like Brother Brandon said in the song, what was attacking us yesterday, this is a new day filled with God's new mercies. Amen. So we shouldn't be bringing that stuff from yesterday into this day. Amen. Even when we're going into the workplace, I take authority this day over everything that's occurring. You know, we plead the blood of Christ. That's why we have that power of prayer. That's why David said, seek him in the morning time. Don't wait until the end of the day when everything has occurred. Seek God early in the morning. Amen. Now I want you to turn with me to Isaiah. And I want to say it's verse chapter 5 of Isaiah. Now, in this, Isaiah the prophet is talking about the nation of Israel, but we can apply it to ourselves today because everything that has happened has been left for us as an example. Amen? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1, it says, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. That's God talking to the nation of Israel, but he's speaking to us that he has given us a vineyard that is very fruitful. Amen? And this is what God has done for us. He says, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Amen. So what is that word telling us? God says that he has positioned us, that he has been that hedge around us, that he is the one that has fenced us in. He's gathered out that junk out of our lives. He's cleaned us up, because that's what happens when we accept Christ as our Savior. Then we're cleansed by the blood of Christ. And then he says he built a tower in the midst of it. And he says that, what did he say that he is? He says that he is our strong tower. Amen. But what happened? He set us up for victory. Amen. He set us up to be fruitful. But what happened? Wild grapes were produced. Now, how did that occur? It occurs when we do not stay in line with the word of God. Amen. We allow those things that the enemy sends, those little distractions, and we're not aware of it. And he comes in very subtle. Amen. And he inches his way in, just like we've said time and time again. Okay, you didn't read your Bible tonight. Okay, well, I'll catch up the next night. Okay, so the enemy is just watching, because he sends out his little team to see, to check us out, to see what we're doing. And so what happens is, the Lord says, I provided for you. I fenced you in. I cleaned you up. Now what has come in that now wild grapes are being produced? Because we have strayed from the things of God. We've either let our emotions take us places that we didn't need to go. We stopped reading our word like we should. We stopped praying like we should. We moved out of fellowship with the Lord. And we'll say we're going to catch up. We say we'll catch up by the end of the week. And we know that we're not going to be able to do that. That's why we don't set a vow to the Lord if you're not going to keep it. Amen. And even when you're looking at that, this is a new year and people are making goals. God, what is it that you would have me to accomplish this year? He set his people of Israel up for victory, but yet they let other things come in and they started producing wild grapes because they were supposed to be flourishing. And even today, we should be flourishing as the people of God. We should be living an abundant life. You know, and that doesn't mean that you have to have steak every night, but God says that he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. So if anyone is in need today, it's not God's fault. Open up your mouth. He says, because if you ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. But what happens is sometimes we try to gauge God's reaction or how he's going to work by what we think he's able to do. You know, how big is your God? And, you know, we'll also be serving the same God, but then you'll see how people are blessed on different levels. How big is your God? Where's your faith today? God has set you up. He has planted you. He's fenced you in. He says that when the enemy tries to come in like a flood, he says that he will lift up a standard against them. You know, he told Peter, he says, Peter, the enemy would desire to sift you as wheat, but Peter, I prayed for you that your faith would fail you not. Amen. And the people of God, if we see what's occurring in the land, it is time for us to live by faith and not by sight. Amen. You know, people say, you know, praise God for the low gas prices. But even if the gas prices go back up, my God is still able because he is my sustainer. He is my supplier. We have to watch the confessions that we're speaking. Now, going back to Isaiah chapter 5, it says, now and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Ask yourself, what is it? What more can God do for you to make you worship him? I mean, seriously. What more does he need to do for you to be a praiser? I mean, he says that he would never leave you nor forsake you. That's what his word says. If you read his word, he says, my truth is your shield and your buckler. It will protect you and it will hold you together. What more must God do for you to praise him? God is faithful. He is not slack concerning his promises. What he said he's going to do, he will surely do it. But where's our faith today? Where's our trust? Look, and the children of Israel was a perfect example. Look at what all God did for them. Yet they still turned their backs on him. But yet we say we want to give God more. But God is saying, will you trust me with that thing that's closest to your heart, whether it be your children, whatever that thing is. But you have to trust God with everything because he can see much further than we can. He knows what's going to happen to us when we leave church today. But he says, is my people going to trust me? Are you going to praise me even in the bad times? That don't mean the bad times are pleasant, but bad things do happen to us. But God says, and in the midst of it, I am still there. You wouldn't be here today if it had not been for my grace covering you. You know, we want to, when God, he has planted this gift within us, and when he comes forth to reap that harvest, we want our fruit to be sweet, sweet, and we want it to be ripe, and we want it to be ready. All you have to do is look around and see that the time of the world is coming to an end. There is so much occurring. And Lord God, I want to be ready. I don't want the Lord to catch me with my work undone. I don't want to be stuck in that same mindset that I had last year. You know, I've seen God move in some mighty ways, and I'm expecting him to move in even more mightier ways this year. But whether he does or not, I'm going to still praise him just because of what he's done in my life right now. Right now, just what he's done in my life is a reason for me to just open up my mouth and sing praises unto him. People see that you're going through things, so you should be upset, you should be worried, but my God is more than able. He has proven himself faithful to me time and time again. What makes me think that he's not going to meet my needs now? Amen? There are so many things we take for granted that we forget to give God praise for. You know, I'm going to run to the grocery store. We just automatically assume We're supposed to get to that store and make it back home safely. But it's God's grace. Amen. I look at Sister Deidre. She's at that hospital. She could easily have an accident and prick herself. But it's God's grace that covers her. Amen. Some terrorists could go into the airport when Deacon Jackson is at work. But it's God's grace that covers him. You know, we can't take these small things for granted. Amen. Because God is performing miracles for us all the time. But because they don't come when we think they should, because they don't come in the form that we think they should, we miss it. The Israelites missed it when Jesus came because they wanted a mighty warrior to come and deliver them. And God sent him in the form of a babe, so they couldn't even receive the blessing. They were missing out on what the gift that God was giving them. But because of the shed blood of Christ, we've been redeemed today. Amen. He saw us that far ahead, and he was willing to go on that cross, suffer, and die for us. How can we give God any less? And we're not talking about just when we come into the house of the Lord. I'm talking about throughout the week. You know, we come in here, and, you know, we want to praise him to take us someplace that we haven't even been ourselves. You know what I'm saying? They have to be staying before the Lord, but you've got to stay before the Lord yourself. You have to bring your praise with you. I can't make you praise God because I don't know what God has done for you. The only thing I can say about every person in this room this morning is that God woke you up. That's all I can say, and that he provided you clothing. Amen? But you know what God has done for you. You know where God has brought you from. So don't worry about it. If you want to run around the church, run around the church and praise God. It says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's no limitations in here. We want to give God our best praise. We do want to give God more because he has been so faithful to us. Amen? Now, God says that if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. Amen? Now, this is what's going to happen. God says, I fenced you in. Okay? I planted you. I fenced you in. I've given you this protection. Now, you should be doing those things to make sure that you produce a harvest. And what are those things that we should be doing? We should be in prayer every day of the week. Every day. I try to use Daniel as my example because Daniel prayed at least 3 times a day. But the Lord says to meditate day in and day out. Amen. We're supposed to be in constant communion with God. You're riding in your car. You're talking to the Lord. You're sitting next to your computer. You're talking to the Lord. You're washing dishes. You're talking to the Lord. You're washing your car. You're talking to the Lord. Amen. Because what does that do? It builds and it strengthens that relationship with him. Now, along with that, you've got to be reading the word. Amen. Because we can't just have the word in here on Sunday and expect it to sustain us through the course of the week. Because if we don't just eat one meal on Sunday and don't eat another natural meal until the next Sunday. You know, some people look at us like we're crazy. You want me just to have that? That's all I'm eating? So the Lord says we got to be eating of his word just like we feed our natural bodies. And even more so as we see that day approaching. So you have to stay in the word of God. Because he said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, then we can ask what we will. But if we're not doing what he's saying, you're asking in vain. Because you're not even meeting the simplest instructions. Amen? So God says, I planted you. And I didn't just plant you, but I planted you and then I fenced you in. And what does he fence us in? He fences us in from the attacks of the enemy. So the enemy can't just come in as he wills. But we have a part to play in that. Amen? Because in order, a natural farmer has to do what? They have to fertilize the soil, you know, feed the soil. If you have a plant at home, you have to water it in order for it to grow. We have to water our spirit man every day. And that's through the word of God, through prayer, through fellowship with the Lord. Amen? Now, if you choose not to do this, and you think you're that grown that you can handle things, then the Lord has a response. He says, and now go, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Now, you see what a strong word the Lord is giving. That's even for us today. Because then when things happen to us, we're like, oh, my God, what happened? But you didn't pray for 2 weeks. You wasn't in your word. You didn't stay in fellowship with him. So why does it take you by surprise when the enemy comes in like that? Yes, he says when the enemy comes in like a flood, he will lift up a standard. But we have a part to play in that. Because we have to be feeding ourselves in the word of God. We have to stay connected to him. Because if we stay connected to God, he will warn us that the enemy is on the way. He will even prepare us that a trial is getting ready to come. He doesn't tell us what the trial is because we sure enough will probably run. But he says, but he prepares us, a trial is coming. Prepare your heart, get ready. You know, he's waking you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and saying to pray. He's doing that for a reason, because he knows that there's either something coming that day or very shortly. Build yourself up in the word. Build yourself up in prayer so that when those trials come, you have something to fight with. Amen? And it says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. And that's why we have a responsibility every day to speak the truth in love. Because God was looking for them to be bringing judgment, but people were being oppressed. Amen? And when you saw that, they saw that spirit of oppression, they didn't come against it. Amen? And that's happening in the body of Christ today. Things are occurring in churches, and nobody wants to speak up against it. They see it, but nobody, I don't want to offend anybody. I want to be careful how I say it. But if you let the Spirit of the Lord lead you, you're going to say it the correct way. And it may hurt, but that's part of the pruning process. But you have to stay before God and be led by his Spirit. That's why we tell the Lord to set a guard over our mouth, keep the door of our lips, let us speak those things that only he gives us to release. But things were occurring, and nobody was speaking out against it. That's how the wild grapes were coming, because they saw that sin was in the camp, but everybody just accepted it. Okay, I see this family's not praying, this family's not fasting, but we don't want to say anything. You know, did you fast this week? Did you pray this week? You know, we asked in Sunday school a couple of Sundays ago, you know, of the hours that God gives us in the course of a week, how much of that time do we give to God? And only you can answer that. The consensus was that day, and I forget how many hours, it was 24 times 7, how many? 70 hours, 2 hours was given to the Lord. Because, you know, we took away the time to go to work, we took away time to sleep, and after doing those things, we still had 70 hours during the course of a week of 7 days. And it's like, so how much of that 70 hours was given to God? It's 2 hours. And that's not enough. That's not enough. I can't even begin to express to you just how much that is not enough. But yet, we hustle and bustle. We're running to and fro. And God is saying, you're giving me the bare minimum. So you know, you think about it, 2 hours over the course of 7 days. We'll go to a buffet and spend 2 hours. But over the course of 7 days, we're only giving God 2 hours. He says, I planted you. I fenced you in. I set up that hedge around you. I even put a tower in your midst. And yet you still produced wild grapes. What are you producing today? What are you producing for God today? And that's what we say. We don't want to just be hearing the word of the Lord, but God, let me be a doer of the word. You know, Lord, I want your word to become more alive in me this year than it was last year. But what are we doing for God? What fruit is being produced in our life? When you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. You can't have one. You have to have all 9 of them. Amen? And if you're lacking, God says, I've given you what you need, but you've got to put forth the effort. You know, we can go to the store and we can buy tomato seeds, whatever your favorite vegetable or fruit is. But if you just have a seed and don't do anything with it, how do you expect it to grow? If it's still in the packet, you've never planted it. But God says, I have already planted you. I have already fenced and hedged you in, yet you're still not producing. Why? And that's why he sassed them. what more do I have to do to get you to act? What more must I do to get you to act? What more must I do to get you to praise me? I mean, he gave us his very best. He says, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only son. Who of us would sacrifice our child for anybody? None of us. But God gave his very best for us. And what are we giving to him? We're giving him leftovers. We're doing what we want to during the course of the day. We think we're checking off something because we did get up and pray this morning. But then you're living like hell the rest of the week. And not even the week, the rest of the day. Those situations come, you forget all about the word that you read. You forget all about that it says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So we can't just act any way we want to act. The word of God has told us that the power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. But yet when I hear you speaking in a conversation, all I'm hearing is negative doubt and unbelief. God is saying, what more must he do to get his people to where we're supposed to be? And I mean, you think about it. Just in this plaza, there are four churches. At some point, our prayer is that we can come together and have a community service. Because you know what? Everybody wants to do their own thing, but we're supposed to be serving one God. We're supposed to be unified. You know, but it's all about, for some, it's all about this power kick. You know, this is my thing. No, it's God's. And that's what people have forgotten. This is not our church. This is God's church. Amen. Amen. Amen? And you need to take care of it even is because it is God's. And it's just a gift that he's given us. You know, and even then, God will bless us. And why can I get this? Or why can I be in this building? What more must he do for you to praise him? I mean, in my life, I've seen him move in some mighty ways. You know, and even if you haven't seen it in someone else's life, but just listening to their testimony, what is it going to take for you to trust God with everything that you have? To worship him. You know that song, and it's an old song by Jay Moss, We Must Praise, and it says, as a believer, we must praise him with everything, holding nothing back from him. But yet, sometimes that's what we do. And God is saying, I want your best because I am the one that planted you. Man didn't do this. I am the one that hedged you in. I am the one that built that fence and placed that tower in your midst. I did this. You know, and sometimes we're like, well, no, that's what my parents did. No, God says, I did this for you. So he is the one that's deserving of all the praise and all the glory and all the honor because of who he is. So today, I ask you, search your heart. God, those things that I have allowed to creep in and hinder my relationship with you, God, those are the things I need removed from my life. God, that's the pruning that I need done. And pruning is not a pleasant feeling, but it's necessary. I look back over the trials that I've been through, and there have been some hard times, but God, I thank you that you love me enough to bring that correction that was needed. Amen. Everyone stand to your feet for me, please. But ask the Lord to search your heart. That's what David says. Search me, O God. You know, try my thoughts. God, let my thoughts line up with your word. Teach me to think like you would have me to think, Lord. Bind my mind to the mind of Christ. We don't just say these things to be saying them, but we say them because a change is needed. Amen. God, he said he's searching for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. What more must God do for you? For you to praise him with everything that you have. And we know trials come. Jesus said that. He says, in this world, you will have tribulation. He says, but be of good cheer. For he has overcome the world. And he said that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. See, do you understand what I'm saying? God has given us, he's already equipped us with everything that we need to be successful in our Christian walk. Everything that we need. He has already equipped us. He says, I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing. He didn't say that the blessing is on the way. He says, I have blessed you. It's already yours. Amen. The altar's open. First, it's open to those who have not made Christ their Lord and Savior, because that is where it begins. Relinquishing that control and saying, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Amen. And then the altar is open for those that want to see change in their life this year, and that you're serious about it. Amen. That you want to see that change this year. That, Lord God, I want to bear more fruit for you. For those that want to bear more fruit for God, if you want to have us to pray for you this afternoon, we can. That's what we're here for. There's so many gifts and talents here.